Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Getting along as we always do in every single break.
Shut up.
Oh, the mic's never hot. Once said hot either. So,
yeah, he did. He goes, completely disagree, Mark's hot. Now he goes, completely disagree, stupid take, Mark's hot. And then you're like, you shut your stupid hole. Hello?
At least I didn't bury. I didn't cuss.
Yeah, it could have been.
I don't curse. Yeah. We have to be so delicate with you because of the fact that first thing out of your mouth isn't shut up normally.
What is it?
Something that I can't say. You're exactly right.
Both of you.
Starts
right.
With you a, mother. Sounds like Morse code by the time we're done with it.
I do wish. I'm not going to lie. I do wish that I had the Kevin Garnett curse button.
That it's pretty cool. Just, that when you can bleep
if
yourself.
If I could just bleep myself, then I could. Like, I could self like that conversation, but your mic would pick it up. So we'd have to coordinate.
My mic picks up your loud soda can opening.
Yeah, it's so funny because yesterday he like
petty right now.
He takes his Diet Coke and he like lowers the can. And I felt like the can could not have been closer to the microphone. That's what it sounded like.
It did. It sounded like...
Yeah, it wasn't that loud.
You hear the bubbles popping.
But everybody in the city of Houston knew you had a Diet Coke.
What do you want me to do?
If you didn't isolate, by the way, if I could just bleep myself...
Would you guys just be better if I just burped on air?
Well, that's already being done on the show after
it. Oh, it's still their bit.
Yeah.
I mean, look, come on now.
You can...
Take your choice. What would you rather have?
Arthur has cornered the market on that.
Yeah, I could fart on the mic.
Joel does it. Practically weekly, so.
Not anymore. I haven't done it in a long time.
No, he's been, now that we get along, he doesn't fart.
That's true.
I've noticed that.
Staying away from the pineapples.
When we didn't like each other, he always farted.
I would do drive-bys, crop dusters. I would do it and then leave. It would be beautiful. Yeah, I don't do that anymore. It's very, very true. I will openly admit that.
That's true.
That is a fact.
And you know what? For that, I'm thankful we get along. More than anything.
And if you fart on the mic, it won't make the mic smell any worse than they do anyway.
Okay. Are you saying that
not
my...
Not you. You always come in here and you're like,
I was about to
oh,
say, are you saying my
smells!
Fart my fart smells like your breath? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't use your microphone. You don't use mine. Oh, and I bring my own mic guard in.
That's
so.
True. Your own mic condom.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I had some gas this morning. I made a discovery by...
Does that mean you pooped your pants?
Almost.
I made
you found
a discovery.
Your testicles?
I had no idea that our friends at Chick-fil-A serve the chicken minis all day. I thought the chicken minis were exclusive to the breakfast hours. I didn't know.
Wait.
Yeah. It's a game changer.
Are you serious?
I rushed my ass to the Chick-fil-A because I knew like the breakfast ends at 10:30. I'm like, look, it's 10:31. Can I please still put an order in for some chicken minis? They're like, sir, they serve those all day.
Really?
Yeah. I ordered a 10-pack.
Did you not know that either, Barry?
I didn't know that.
But
I would also like to point out that he was late for the meeting, but stopped at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I'd just like to point that.
It's very true.
I'm just going to snitch right there. I hope AJ is listening right now.
There's a 6-count combo, 8-count combo, or you can just get a 10-count, just the chicken minis.
We always get the party tray. I'm not
gonna lie. I ate all 10.
We're fat at the house. We always get the party tray.
But realistically, the only thing that made it a breakfast item at the time was the bread.
That
should be served all day.
That's this like I'm right now. I'm
24/7.
Glad I didn't wear sweatpants.
Well, not 24/7, but as long as they're open.
I got a semi. I'm glad I didn't wear sweat. This is amazing. This is a game changer for me for sure.
So now it's the 2 minutes that I was late for the meeting today.
It's
totally
in a row,
worth it.
Just
more
exactly. You know. I hope you get text messages that call you old now.
Why?
Because I got called old and Nick got roped into it because I found out during the show that the Seattle Seahawks receivers dance was New Edition's If It Isn't Love. And someone called that out.
I just figured you got called.
You didn't know that? Well, good. I hope everybody that knew that your little minis were available all day is going to hammer your ass on text messages.
Because nobody knew that. Nick didn't know that. No one knew that. We all assumed it was just a breakfast item. So why?
I knew that.
Why would it?
Yeah. Seriously.
I just figured you got called old because you're old.
No, and I'm not. So I'm done with
it. No?
No.
Okay.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, people. I didn't mean to.
Man. What else you want to talk about?
I don't know. Let's, wow, that's nice.
I mean, I'm not going to talk about your minis anymore.
That's, what we need to talk about is the rankings last night in college football going down.
Yeah.
And the fact that OU and Utah moved up, and it really comes down to conference championships now. You got, the top four doesn't change. It's Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia. But then you got Utah and Oklahoma moving up. Utah at 5, Oklahoma at 6. I had them flipped just because of resume. Utah doesn't have a signature win. At the time, I think their biggest win was Arizona State. But when you look at their resume, I get it. Eye test, yes, okay. But my beef when Ohio State was 1 and LSU was 2 was resume. Ohio State put together a resume. They have good wins against good teams. Oklahoma at least has a win against Baylor, who legitimately a top 10 team.
Yeah, I had it exactly right. So
what, the top six?
Yeah. I mean, I just want to make sure it's pointed out. And then
that's so unlike us to point out
seven,
when we're right.
Baylor.
Yeah.
So they're basically saying there are three teams that have a shot at being able to scooch past Georgia and get into that final fourth spot.
And let's be realistic here. It's probably going to shake out that way. I mean, Georgia probably loses to LSU.
Yeah, and if,
so that fourth spot
and again,
opens
like we
up.
Said, like if you know some major miracle happens and Georgia beats LSU or Wisconsin beats Ohio State, both those teams, if they lose, are still in. It's just a matter of who and where they play. Because the bottom line is, no matter who gets into four, they're going to get bitch slapped. Mm-hmm. So you do the one thing you don't want to do, especially if you're a top two team. Is you don't want to, if you're a top two team, you got to be careful because if you're two, that 2-3 game is going to be a hell of a lot tougher than the 1-4. So if Ohio State just goes in and does what they did already once this year and they work Wisconsin, are they going to be your number one going into the actual four games, which means they'll get the easiest matchup? Clemson will probably play LSU and everyone will want to see that game because that should be a game. Doesn't matter if it's Utah, Oklahoma's defense isn't going to stop Ohio State.
Well, okay, but now let me ask you this. Let's put a pin in that. We'll come back to it. You mentioned Ohio State has to play Wisconsin.
Yep.
LSU has to play Georgia. If LSU beats the number four team in the country, how are they not number one going into the playoffs?
That's what I'm saying. That's why number one is so important, and number four, and not because trying
did,
to.
Wisconsin is what did the committee have
right
them
now?
Which is stupid. They should have been lower than that.
They're the highest ranked two loss team. Why should that?
Yeah,
why is that
exactly.
stupid?
You think
look at their schedule.
You think if Bama and Wisconsin play, who's winning?
You looked at this yesterday. Look at their schedule.
Yeah, I had Wisconsin at 10. I had Bama behind Baylor.
As in most, I don't care where you had them. I like where they're at.
Well, sure you do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a moot point because they're going to lose to Ohio State anyway.
Absolutely. They're going to get absolutely slaughtered.
So I think what this comes down to, obviously, is the championships, right? It comes down to Ohio State winning, LSU winning, and then who between the Pac-12 and the Big 12 wins that. If Utah wins, then they obviously have a good shot at being that number four team now because they're 5. If they don't win, then now it becomes the winner between OU and Baylor is your 4? That's crazy.
My point is, no matter who, if it's LSU and Ohio State, you better come out and not just win, but win impressively. Because if you are in that 2-hole and you got to play Clemson as opposed
to
whoever ends up in 4.
I do agree with you on that.
That you're in for a world of hurt
now,
because even if you win, you're going to get beat up.
Do you think that of the three teams that have a shot at that 4 seed besides Georgia, which I actually think Georgia would give Ohio State a better game than any of the Utah, Oklahoma, or Baylor options.
I totally agree.
But we just know that's not going to happen. That's not going to be possible, right? Or is the committee crazy enough to put Georgia in, even though they're a 2-loss team and they're lost?
If Georgia beats LSU,
well, of course, if Georgia beats LSU,
if they don't,
if Georgia beats
LSU,
I think both of them are in.
If Georgia loses to LSU, they're done.
Okay, you don't think that? All right, Because of the two losses?
Yeah, just the fact that they haven't had any big signature wins. They haven't just looked like,
yeah,
you know, even a year or two ago when they looked dominant, they haven't looked like
that. If you're Oklahoma and Baylor, you're really rooting for, obviously, Georgia to lose, but you're also rooting for Oregon to beat Utah.
Oh, for sure.
Because then the winner of the Big 12, I think, gets that fourth spot.
I think if Oregon beats Utah, Baylor's in the conversation.
Yes.
For sure.
Well, no, Baylor's in the conversation if they win.
What's I'm saying? They're in the conversation, OU's, and they still have to beat Oklahoma. But based on how that first half against Oklahoma, they've proven they have the capability of doing that.
Right. If Utah loses,
anybody who thinks Baylor's got a shot to get into this thing is absolutely out of their mind. Stupid. It's the dumbest take ever.
That was a dumb take. What, a month and a half ago or 2 months ago?
Whatever. Bottom line is they do have an outside shot. It's an outside shot. But yeah, if they can beat Oklahoma again,
well, not again because they didn't beat them. But if they can,
no, I'm saying if they could beat Oklahoma and play the way they played the first time, right? And they can beat them.
The Big 12 needs two things to happen.
But doesn't Oklahoma have an argument then?
Well, we did lose
to them once, but we did beat them once.
But you also lost they're the conference champs. So
that does mean something to the committee.
That's
We've been told
and you've
that.
Got two losses; they have one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think to me the way that the Big 12 is assured a spot in the playoffs is. Georgia has to lose and Oregon has to win, and then whoever wins that Big 12 game gets the four spot and the right to go
Unless
get their ass
beat Ohio State by 43.
That ain't happening.
Of course it's not.
But now the other thing I wanted to ask you is, who amongst those three teams do you think has the best shot at beating Ohio State or LSU, depending on who gets that number one seed? I would say Oklahoma.
I do too. I think it's Oklahoma because you got an experienced quarterback that's dynamic running the football as well as throwing the football. I just don't think they can stop
it. But Utah's defense, I think, is better than either of those Big 12 squads. Mm-hmm. Offensively, I think they can hang with anybody.
Utah may be the most balanced of those three teams.
Baylor's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
I mean,
And you know what? The best thing about this is,
me to change my mind and say Utah. You really could.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Aside from the fact that we expect Ohio State to blow out Wisconsin, the rest of these conference championship games mean something, and they're going to be fun to watch, and it makes the weekend a whole lot more entertaining.
I think, actually, and I know you're being humble in saying that, but I think Wisconsin puts up a fight. I don't know. They probably fade in the fourth because that's what happens. A team like Ohio State is so deep that when they do bring in backups, they wear you
down.
Here's
why they don't, Barry. They rely on the running game. The best defensive front seven in college football is Ohio State.
But they're deep.
Do you know the one game this year that Jonathan Taylor didn't get 100 yards? That's exactly right, the Ohio State Buckeyes. So it's going to be a problem. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Yeah, you know, I appreciate it. Second hour is rolling through. I will take you all the way till 4 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Fellas, I don't know if you know this or not.
Nick,
do you know what a Peloton is?
I know everything.
No.
That's what I thought. You know what a Peloton is.
I do know what a Peloton is.
Peloton is this new fancy bike that...
When you're on it, it's a Peloton.
What? Hey! First dad joke.
Put it on the board.
You can put it on the board! Yes! Thanks, Hawk. So, Peloton... Normally about this time is trying to encourage you to buy a $2,000 stationary bike for your house.
Almost $2,300.
They're spendy.
Yes.
Right. But they're catching a lot of heat.
According to their own or the CEO, they're very reasonable. $2,300 for a stationary bike is reasonable.
Maybe on a payment plan.
It's a mortgage for most people. A lot of people.
If you haven't seen it yet, and I don't know how you haven't, especially watching sports, because the commercial is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But getting ready for the holidays... There is a couple, and the husband surprises the wife, has her basically cover her eyes and say, "Honey, look at your new Christmas gift.
Got your fat ass a bike?
It's a Peloton." She's
That's essentially what he's saying, right?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, so the rest of the commercial, she says she's dreading her first ride. She gets on. Then all of a sudden, she's making progress. Then she comes through the front door and goes, can't believe this is going to be 6 days in a row. Could you believe it? No, I can't either, but I'm going to do it. Then she gets a shout out from one of the instructors doing the video workout. And at the end of the year, it's like a confessional where she confesses to how wonderful the gift has been and how everything has been fantastic. Well,
now,
the feedback on social media has not been pretty.
People are pissed. They're like, you're body shaming. You're, it's
one
sexist.
Person said, just put on the tag, honey, you're fat and need to lose a few pounds.
I got your big ass a bike. That's not a good Christmas present. That's not a good approach. But what I loved is one of the breakdowns I saw about people losing their mind is the first problem is she's already fit.
She's thin.
So when she gets the bike, it's not like she was, you know, four bills. She was already in shape. Then you give her the bike, and she's like, oh, I feel so much better. Okay, you're not big, all right? Stop acting like you were big before.
Now, if you want to get the girl from This Is Us, and she gets on the bike, and at the end of the year,
well, you are.
She's like making all this progress.
You ain't right at all.
I'm just saying. I mean, she's a toothpick
How big
chick.
Is the chick from This Is Us?
You've never seen it?
It was This Is Me, but she's so big that they had to change it to Us.
The Chrissy Metz?
See, that wasn't right.
I don't know what her name is.
Lord, I apologize.
39 years old. She's 5'5", and she looks pretty big. It doesn't say the weight.
What would you guess it to be?
3 bills plus.
That's her.
At the very minimum.
That's her.
Let's see. It's got to be something.
I know people that thought Billy Gardell was her dude for a while.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, no, we had him on the show. That is not him.
No, that's not him at all.
He's in the other show.
That's right. The one, it's him and African American woman. Yep. I forget what it's called. I should have known. Yeah.
I'll get it for you.
But the funny thing about the commercial is like it's pretty presumptuous, right?
Yeah.
Like what I would love to see is because I jokingly told Nora, she goes, my Shark vacuum cleaner is broken. Can you fix it? I was like, no.
No, for that reason I'm out.
I'll just get you a new one for Christmas. Oh my God. I thought she was going to murder me in my sleep. She was so pissed that I even joked about getting her a vacuum for Christmas. She was like, you are not getting me a vacuum for Christmas. Just don't get me anything. I would rather you not give me. So I've kind
of
feel like.
You're replacing something she already has and you're saying it's.
But it's broke. But I'm like, well, if you love the vacuum so much.
But Nora loves romantic gifts, right?
Yes.
For holidays, birthdays, correct. And such.
Yeah. Yeah. Most women do.
I think Lisa would be actually, jewelry. She would be cool with that.
What, a vacuum?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's just very simple that way.
Wow.
Like, I got her 1 year when we weren't going to do gifts or something like that, and I got her diamond earrings. She made me take them back.
What?
She goes, I really don't need them, and we could use the money for something else.
This is Nora's, like, 1 year. So I know that I'm going to spend probably $1,000 when she goes, I think I'll just get like one big gift. And I'm like, oh, I'm so screwed. It's going to be a grand.
Billy Gardell shows Bob Hart's Abisola.
Huh?
Bob Hart's Abisola. As in,
yeah.
Bob really Bob. Abisola, yeah, but
it's a heart.
They title the show,
Heart?
If they spell it out, Bob Hart's Abisola, but it is Bob. Yeah.
Okay. This doesn't seem like a good, like, I, okay. 1 year I did get Nora a treadmill.
Okay.
But she told me I want a treadmill because I want to be able to walk and run. So of course I got her that because that's what she asked for, but I went cheap and got her like a $200 treadmill and it lasted a week. She was like, this sucks. Which was also why I got her a $200 treadmill. Cause if I would have invested $2,300 like this Peloton bike, she would ride it for 2 weeks, and then it would just...
She wants a Peloton. Barry gets her the one where the front wheel on the stationary bike is a fan.
Water?
It's got the
water.
Fan.
You know the one
it's
with the water
the,
in
it's
it?
It's got, like, you know, it blows air on both sides because it doesn't have to need the tire
like,
or the
now,
chain.
Put this in front of the couch in the summer. Keep me cool, and you get in shape.
Yeah.
Boom. Win-win. Now, I'm getting rid of the AC. We don't have to pay that bill anymore. And you're slimming up? Yes. This is a win.
Barry asked for a movie theater popcorn machine so he can put it next to his chair so he can eat the popcorn and
watch
get
her
cool
workout
while she's working out. Yeah, sure. There you go. So dude, I don't know if you've seen the Peloton commercial or not. It doesn't bother me, but it has really bothered some people.
Did you see the one where this woman recreated that commercial, but she was like, oh, look, my husband got me a Peloton. And she's like pissed about it. So she reenacts the commercial like it's her. But at the end, she was like, hey, honey, look, I made this video for you, like in the commercial. Yeah. And in the commercial, it's like, thanks, honey. I feel so great. It's like, I want to divorce you, son of a bitch. It's like, I'm so good. It's like, that's how that would really go.
That's right. There you go. So that's the first half of the show. We've got 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
About to lose the illusion of heart. Pictures that I thought I could frame. Colors I've just on my wall, getting blurred. Like it ain't never gonna be the same.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Still to go as we open up the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. News of the day. Zach Wheeler, someone that people thought the Astros, who have had their eye on in the past in trade discussions, might be interested in free agency this offseason. Well, he gone. He signs a 5-year, $118 million deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. The White Sox said to have offered even more than that, but his wife is from the Jersey area, likes the area of proximity between New Jersey and Philadelphia, can keep family close. Therefore, he is a Philly. Cole Hamels, just as a left-handed starter, no matter how old he gets, makes money. Mm-hmm. 1 year, $18 million to join the Braves. What does that say, like, Dallas
Keuchel? Go run
Keuchel?
Their organization.
What does that say, Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, that's true, too.
You're not next year's lefty. Cole Hamels is in the starting rotation.
You feel like that they downgraded, though.
You think Dallas Keuchel's better than Cole Hamels?
Yeah, I would take Dallas Keuchel over Cole Hamels.
Okay. Well, evidently $8 million more than what they were willing to pay Dallas Keuchel on a 1-year prorated deal.
What was Keuchel's final numbers last year? I don't think they were
okay.
Bad. Yeah, I would venture to say, without looking at the two, that he had a better year than Cole Hamels did.
Okay. Last bit of baseball news. The city of St. Petersburg and the Tampa Bay Rays have halted that idea of sharing their home games between Montreal and Tampa, so I agree with that. Shermer says the Giants are likely to start Eli Manning with Daniel Jones hurt this weekend. So Eli is going to get a swan song and play a little bit more. And Cam Newton is going to have foot surgery after all. I don't know if that Ron Rivera decision had anything to do with anything, but he better be healthy next year because he may be looking for work elsewhere. So he's going to have foot surgery, and while he's on the clock and having the Panthers pay for it, might as well get her done.
Right.
So those are news of the day.
Well, real quick, I looked it up. So Hamels 7-7 last year, 381 ERA, 1.391 WHIP. Dallas Keuchel 8-8, 375 ERA, 1.367 WHIP. Pretty much
close,
identical.
Right?
You can't really look at strikeouts, although Dallas had 91 in 112 innings, but you know he obviously only pitched in 19 games. So Hamels pitched in 27.
What kind of a contract Keuchel gets next
year? Yeah, Hamels pitched in 27, had 143 strikeouts in 141 innings. So he was averaging about a strikeout an inning. Keuchel was a little bit less. So I stand corrected. It was about the same.
And again, and they,
so you may be overpaid for Hamels again.
I really do.
Yeah, I think you'd rather at this point for the money have Dallas Keuchel, but who knows?
If you care, the XFL unveiled all the uniforms for all the teams. If you saw the Roughnecks of Houston,
jeez,
not a fan.
Nope, I'm not a fan of any of them, really. It all looks like the Roughnecks, I said, looks like somebody that when you get a video game, like if you get Madden and you can build your own team and you create your own uniforms. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of these look like.
I saw someone say it looks like the Patriots jerseys, and I tend to agree.
A little bit.
They just all look like they were created in Madden to me. Like, these are bad looking.
You know why I would agree with you? Is because from the side, when it just has a generic star on the side of the shoulder pad area, it's like, you know, anyone could have done that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you put the star and you put the Derek in the middle of it, almost like an Astros slat look to it, star with the Derek over it or something like that, and you have like a logo. But just a blue star on a red sleeve looks generic.
What pisses me off is that the Dallas Renegades uniform mm-hmm. and colors is what Houston should have been, because it's the old Oilers colors. It's kind of the Columbia blue and red, and they added black to it. But this should have been, if the XFL got permission to use those colors,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you give them Houston?
I didn't notice Dallas had the Columbia blue. I got to check those out.
Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't have given that to Houston and let us live in the past. But instead, we're looking at red, white, and blue and gray. Whoopee. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of a Patriots, Giants, Texans combination of it's just they look bad. And I looked at this power rankings. The one they have ranked the worst is the green and green Tampa Bay Vipers. I actually don't mind it. It's like they look like Sprite cans running around, but it actually is something. At least it's different.
Yeah,
it looks different.
Some of them have the look of, like you said, like a Madden-made team or someone in a fantasy football league. Like the Defenders, it's just red and white, and it's got two lightning bolts crossing with some stars around it. Anyone could have drawn that up on their computer.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good. Like you said, I like Dallas's logo. I think it's very cool.
I like the whole – I think Dallas did it right. The color scheme.
I would agree with that.
They do look a little bit like the Titans, a little bit, but I still think it's – I haven't seen the other teams, but I like what they did. I think it's a lot better than the Roughnecks. I hate to say it.
The New York Guardians has a cat on the side that's kind of a cross between like the Sabres in hockey and the Sabre Cats that used to play in the Arena Football League.
But yeah.
It's a decent logo.
See, I'm like this For the Win article has them ranked, and they have the Los Angeles Wildcats at the bottom, and I kind of like it. It kind of looks like the Arizona Wildcats colors. It's kind of the red and the orangish yellow, or actually maybe more like the Tampa Bay Bucks. But I dig some of their uniforms and the Tampa Bay Vipers, and the stuff at the top that they have is so boring. And the St. Louis Battlehawks is their number one. It looks terrible. It looks like a generic Rice Owls uniform.
Or you got the wings from like when you were a kid and you were on a plane, and they just put it on the front of the helmet.
Yeah, this is like the Equate Rice Owls is what it looks
You're
like.
You're right. LA's kind of a San Diego Padre look a little bit to the uniform, too, but it's got some new colors to it, which is good. The Seattle Dragons, to me, looks like UAB. It's the same kind of logo, dragon.
Yeah.
So that doesn't impress
me.
But
I don't mind. It's the Miami colors. At least it's something different in professional sports, but I don't know. It's not going to matter.
It really isn't.
It is what it is, but there was
a lot of people chiming in. The helmet's silver with the red, white, and blue different color schemes. You can see it. I'll retweet it.
Did you see the list of names? You had mentioned Ron Rivera earlier. Did you see the list of names that could be in line to take over for him?
I did not.
So For the Win ranked the seven best candidates to replace him in Carolina. Okay. Obviously, number one is Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to be number one on everybody.
He's everyone's darling. Number two, Josh McDaniels.
He ain't leaving.
Well, for the Carolina. Question I have is, how is his stock so high if the narrative is, now I'm not suggesting it's true or not, but if the narrative is that the Patriots offense is so bad this year, why is the offensive coordinator, why is his stock so high, right?
Yep.
So either one of these is either not true. Either their offense isn't as bad as we think it is, they're just not executing or whatever, or Tom Brady's old and it's not his fault, or it is bad and why is he so high on the coaching carousel ahead of other guys? Like Eric Bieniemy is the number three on this list.
Chiefs OC.
Mm-hmm. And you get why? Because their offense is prolific. He's learning from Andy Reid.
How'd that work out in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kevin Stefanski, Vikings OC on the list.
Okay.
Greg Roman, Ravens OC on the list at number
and
five.
If you're Baltimore, you do everything to keep him.
Yeah, because of what he did.
He set up an entire offense built around a player instead of a player having to play to a team's offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that's great. That's a good fit. He should stay where he's at.
Niners, DC, Bills, OC, round out the list.
Okay, nothing excites. Yeah. It should. And again, that goes to, I understand the owner wanted to make a change, but part of the reason you make a change is you're going to get someone better in that job. Everyone, for all intent, and Cam had a long Instagram post about it. Greg Olson had a... They say that for as good a coach as Ron Rivera has been, whatever you want to be critical of, he's a better person. They said he's a great guy.
Well, I just saw his press conference.
He's an ex-player.
He handled that like a pro.
Yep. And so for that being said and for the things that he was able to do while he was there, he will get another opportunity.
Well, and I didn't know this because I was – they had Shout Out or whatever the hell the show is with
get
Stephen
up.
A and
– Oh, First Take.
Okay. And that was on in the barbershop. And Stephen A., this topic came up, and he actually made some pretty good points because they talked about Ron Rivera. They talked about the owner and how he basically went to Rivera and said, listen, I'm letting you go because I don't want to find your replacement behind your back.
Which is very upfront. Admirable for doing that.
You know, I mean, look, he's like, look,
Tepper, the owner of the
Dave Tepper,
Panthers,
yeah. I'm going to replace you, but I don't want to do it behind your back. I owe you enough, and I
feel pretty classy.
I feel like I respect you enough to just say, look, we're done, but I'm not going to do this behind your back when meetings and then you're seeing head coaches in the building and whatnot. So let's just part ways. You get paid
smart
for the
move.
Rest of the year. Yeah, I think that's a classy
like
way to do it.
Considering how long he's been that
you
coach,
might not
too.
Be good with
and
the decision that they're
on.
Letting you go, but
right.
You have to be appreciative of the fact that he's doing it in a way that allows you to have some class dignity, and also you get a head start looking for your next job.
True, because you know there are going to be other teams that are like, well, if we wait, we're going to miss out on good candidates, and Ron Rivera is a really good candidate. And it makes you – now if you're the Cowboys and you're Jarrah, do you consider it,
nope.
Or are you like, Lincoln Riley's my guy? Because the other point that Stephen A. made, which I also thought, which you guys were talking about, I think it was you, Nick, yesterday, we're talking about retreads in the NFL and whatnot, and he was like, you know, no one knew Mike Tomlin was going to be as good as Mike Tomlin is, which, by the way, he still doesn't get enough love for the job he's done
no
this
question.
Year. But no one knew Mike Tomlin was going to be this good until they gave him a shot. And so you,
and
yes,
he was like a D-backs coach for the Bucks.
So yes, you can get a Ron Rivera another retread, and you can use Shermer if he gets fired, or Jason Garrett if he gets let go. But again, there are guys like Lincoln Riley, Eric Bieniemy, these guys that haven't had an opportunity yet that you're not going to know how good they are if you keep using these retreads that we know what they are. Because for as good of a coach as Rivera is, and a better person for the way he handled being fired, he's had some stinkers of seasons.
Sure.
Now, if you want to tie that to Cam or not, okay, but...
Again, you go with, and everybody wants, the next McVay. The next hot young coordinator or coach that's going to be
the next
Mike Tomlin.
I would want that.
It's hard to find, though, because every time you think you get a guy like Mike Tomlin, you get Freddie Kitchens.
That's
you know?
True.
It's a possibility.
But, I mean, you have to
Freddie
go,
Kitchens
you have to
was never
that.
Even a coordinator until he slid into the position in Cleveland based on Todd Haley getting fired. Then after less than a full season being the coordinator, they felt like, well, it's him or Greg Williams. Greg Williams is volatile. We're going to give it to Freddie Kitchens. Not putting a value on the fact that having some head coach experience, having a long tenure as a coordinator and above, can understand what needs to be done in terms of keeping the locker room in order and team rules and, you know, all these different things that have been distractions for these guys off the field. So you can get Mike Tomlin. You can get Matt LaFleur, who I wasn't sold on.
Yeah.
And the fact that, great, you could say he came from the McVay coaching tree, but guess what? His offense in Tennessee a year ago was not anything to speak of. And now you're going to put him in with Aaron Rodgers, and it's worked out. But it's a kind of a crapshoot when you're looking for someone that isn't a retread.
Well, I mean, they wish they could get Bill O'Brien, but no way.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Texans might even not even require a bowl of soup if you want to make a deal. We'll give you a bowl of soup on an IOU. You give us Bill O'Brien. Bye.
They are in love with him. There's no way.
Yeah, I just the scary thing to me is we haven't heard from Cal. If we've heard from Cal McNair a few times,
point. You
know, we hear so much from Jerry Jones. But we haven't heard a peep out of him all year that only tells you Bill O'Brien's going to be
but
around.
Do you want to hear from him? Do you want another Jerry Jones? Do you want another Daniel Snyder? I kind of like that he's operating. You know what they say? They say gangsters move in silence, right? I like that he's moving behind the scenes. Good.
What has he done?
Good.
If he's moving in silence, but he's doing things, okay. But we didn't hear him on any of the trades. We didn't
don't
want
to hear him.
I want to hear from the owner. Every now
like,
and then.
Oh, shut up.
No, I would like to hear exactly where he's coming from. Is it the same way? Where he's, is he in the same corner as Bob, Bob McNair? Is he going to have a different approach to it? No, is he? You know, is he going to have? Is he going to be like his dad?
Oh,
or is he going to be his own man and say, "No, I'm not going to deal with this crap."
Well, he's
not
obviously proven he's going to be his own man because he fired his GM.
He also went and got a guy that his dad probably wouldn't have gotten in Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. Hour number two, 3 hour show as we continue to take you till four. Blitz takes you till seven. We do it all right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Through hour number two, 3 hour show, it is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever we may be. You may be, or otherwise, in the big city. Yeah, we screwed up way back Wednesday. We've been getting some tweets and texts, and hey, what's the theme? There is none. It's Nick's theme of the day, and whatever he feels like playing is what we're going to play, because that's our way of saying our bad. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Mm. We had a lot going on.
Yeah, a couple of texts from the text line. Do you guys know why hour three of yesterday's show isn't on the ESPN podcast? Noble will look into it for sure.
Yep.
And somebody said, what's the Wayback Wednesday theme? You just covered that.
Yep.
And then Dimitri is giving me vacuum.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
I don't think that. Okay, whatever. Yeah. And then someone said, I know it's off the beaten path, but any thoughts on the Arkansas head coaching job in football? Yeah, I've heard that Lane Kiffin has been in conversations with the Hogs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I mean, you can say whatever you want about Lane Kiffin, and especially you can pick on his previous track record, but at, what is it, Florida International he's at, or
yes,
whatever like that?
FIU.
Yeah, but he's made his conference championship game, I think, every year, and okay, he's got them play. So it's maybe a chance for him to get back on the highest Division I level and see what he can do.
This is an interesting text from Cody. See if you agree with this.
All right.
Been a suspect since it wasn't a thing. I have noticed the show works so well because of the contrast between Joel and Barry.
All right.
Joel has smooth transitions and poise as a radio voice with a little humor. Why are you?
I kind of like the way it's going so far. And I feel like it's coming at you instead of me, thank God.
Barry sounds like a comedy podcaster who knows sports for some reason.
Cody, you can text anytime.
But I don't know if that was a shot.
I don't know either, actually.
I don't think he meant that in a bad way. At least I'm not taking it that way. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't.
I don't know what he thinks Nick sounds like.
I don't know. But, yeah, that was a weird kind of breakdown of our varying skill sets.
Is that our Bills fan, Cody, probably?
K-O-D-Y.
Oh.
No idea.
Okay.
So,
all right.
There's that.
Hey,
how much money would you give up for the kids for Christmas? That's what I want to know.
I mean, we have a budget, and we, and again now with two kids, and obviously it's different with an infant because an infant doesn't really process and understand. But this is the first Christmas I think Taylor's really, really, really. She's circling things in catalogs, and she's pointing on things on her iPad and saying I want this, I want that. So I mean, for me, and honestly, it's all changed for me once we had Taylor,
right?
In that I used to, once I got married and we had a kid, I don't really care about getting gifts at Christmas anymore.
You don't?
I don't for me. I would rather we use it all on Taylor.
On the kids.
Yeah.
So there's this infographic out. 46% of parents say they have gone without gifts for themselves or their partner in order to afford more for their children.
I would believe that's a pretty good high percentage.
71% worry that their kids are going to go back to school and have to hear about other children's gifts.
Hmm. Now, we didn't have anything growing up, and my parents were never concerned. I've told you that. I got the FAX racetracks, not the AFX. I got the Tico train instead of the Tyco train.
Right.
I mean, and my parents never thought twice about it because at least I got something. But I could see that with a very materialistic millennial type thing to do is worry about what other kids are saying they got.
39% are extremely concerned about their holiday spending. These are parents. Mm-hmm. But 61% would willingly damage their credit score to make people on their shopping list happy.
Which is very cool for them to do, but also very stupid.
The average respondent will overspend by $542.
Man.
That's above your budget. So if your budget was, you know, you're going to spend $250 on the kids, you added $542
to
that.
With you and Nora, I mean, when you're going with $10,000 as a budget, I mean, what's the difference if you go an extra?
Here's the thing. Nora and I don't have kids.
Yeah.
So we spend spend money on each other.
I get it. And absolutely, and you should.
And, you know, sometimes, like, well, I mean, last year I got her that ring from Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to buy her gifts for a whole year because I spent a lot of money on the ring. Sure. She was like, no, sweetie, don't give me anything for my birthday. Don't give me anything for Christmas. And literally, when I say he made me a hero, that's the honest truth because I didn't have to buy her anything for the whole year. So that's how she was. I mean, she gets it. You know, she was like, no, I realize that you went out and spent a lot of money to upgrade my wedding ring. So, but that's also, yeah, we don't have kids, so we don't spend, you know, I mean, you know what, how expensive kids can be just to have on a daily
and,
basis.
And look, the toys and the things that kids play with these days are far more expensive. There are no, like, you know, getting a deal on this or that and saving it. And it's like, you know, a board game or a $12.50 Lego set or something like that.
No.
Toys are spendy.
So here's the holiday spending tricks that they do. Some people will take extra shifts at work. 33% of the respondents will do that.
I can see that.
Some will open a store credit card.
Dangerous.
Take a second or part-time job.
Uh-huh.
Start a side hustle. And some will are more conscious of the like their electric and heating bills and so forth.
You're going to freeze for a month so that you can buy more gifts?
Buy your kids gifts.
And I know the side hustle. Like, there's a lot of gigs that you can get where people will pay cash, and I can see that. Where you just take a bunch of shifts where they pay you cash, and then you just put that all towards gifts. I can see that.
Man,
I would do that
for your kids.
I mean, just in general. Like, if I was put in a position, like, I don't have to buy that many Christmas gifts, thankfully. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if I was put into that position and I had to, like, there has been time where I had to buy a lot of gifts or I had to cater to people.
This is just parents, strictly parents and their kids.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'm not going into debt for my kids.
I can see for sure that parents are taking second part-time jobs, night jobs, crazy. And things like that. Yeah, just for a month or
amazing.
Two, so they could pay for kids' gifts.
I don't know that I could love anything that much to make me work more.
Believe me, once you have a kid, it changes everything in terms of. Don't think you could love someone that much.
For me, the problem is there's no limit because kids look at other kids and then it becomes a competition.
Right.
And then you got to buy whatever she just saw. You know, it's like Joel was telling me about this the other day with the, what was it? She wanted to buy some sword or some saber or something.
Oh, at the Zoo Lights.
Yeah, and some other kid was walking around with a saber.
I got completely screwed.
You should have seen the video, Barry.
You had to buy one?
Oh, yeah.
You could have told her no.
No, but you know what? Look, I took Taylor to Zoo Lights because of the fact that she had been such a great big sister and most of the attention and focus was obviously on the newborn. So we go to Zoo Lights and we're hanging out. Uh-huh. And I want to get some videos and things to send to Lisa and her mom. And there's like an igloo. And I said, babe, go in there and, you know, check out the igloo. I'm going to videotape you. Well, she goes in, Nick saw the video. She goes in there happy as can be, dancing, checking out. And all of a sudden, as she turns around to face the camera, the girl next to her has this light up, blinking snowflake, I think it's Elsa sword flashlight thing.
Uh huh.
You watch the video and you watch her complete attention and face go from, hi, Dad. What is that? It was like ADD. She's like, what is that? Oh, I got it. I want one of those. Dad, can I have that? Uh-huh. And the rest of the time, and I kept going, okay, you know what? We'll look for a shop on the way out. Son of a, if we didn't, right as there's an exit, there's a gift shop. And she's so smart. She goes, Daddy, there's the gift shop. Can we stop there before we go? And I'm like,
yeah, you guys
got me.
Thankfully, it was just, like 30 or 40 bucks? Because if something else caught her attention, it's like, boom, $800. It's like, dang.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that expensive either. I think it was like 14, 15 bucks, but I thought, okay.
E-Rock is, everybody's like, yeah, I would totally, I don't care about getting gifts. Yeah. This is just another reason I don't want to have kids. I want
it's
a lot of gifts.
Everybody, Barry.
I want a lot of presents for Christmas.
Parents are also supposed to be responsible, making the right choice.
Buy me a lot of stuff.
See?
Yeah. I don't know if damn kids running that.
Nick?
It's ridiculous.
Barry just wants a new video game. That's all he wants.
I want some J's. I want video games. I want the PS5. I want all kinds of stuff.
Why do you sound like you have homework tonight and freaking study hall tomorrow morning?
I don't, because I live the life of a child as a grown ass man.
I play a lot of video games during the Thanksgiving holiday.
Me too.
A lot.
Yeah. And I will at Christmas.
So. Yeah. Well, your big ass can barely move, so.
What are you talking about?
I would expect you to sit in one place.
Why don't you go to, hey, I know.
Why don't you guys both race to the car and back at the break?
No, I know. Well, I'm sore from the gym, but you should go work out with me on Thursday at the league. I'll get you in.
No, I won't even squeeze through the door. I'm not trying to exercise, man.
Oh, okay.
I'm in that mood where I don't care.
I'm not trying to. I'm just laying it out there.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not trying to. Yeah. Who wants to exercise?
No, I do. I'm tired of you making fun of my weight.
All right, we squeezed about as much as we can out of segment two of the show. We're going to re-tee the ball and take a swing on the final hour of the show. Coming up next, that's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.